So today we're going to talk about the unusual halacha that somehow the kashrus of an entire Sefer Torah, or for that matter tefillin or mezuzah, may depend on a child, on a little kid who comes and reads it and says, yeah, that's okay, that's not okay. And it seems like a very strange halacha. Is that a din of ne'emanus, that a child has ne'emanus to say that this is a Sefer Torah that's kosher or pasul? Hard to imagine that a child would have ne'emanus about anything in halacha that's especially something that important. And if it's not a din in ne'emanus, just something to think about, there's a discussion in poskim, what if you have a non-Jewish child who knows how to read Hebrew? You have an Israeli Arab or something. Can you call the non-Jew? Is it just mamash a gilui milsa that any kid who could just recognize the letter can identify the letter, so it doesn't even have to be a Jew? I mean, is there any element of ne'emanus over here? What exactly is this halacha? And why would a child be more qualified than an adult to deal with halacha? So these are to deal with the definition of a letter or the tzura of a letter. So these are some of the issues that we should probably try to think about. I have to admit, I don't have it all clear in my own head, but maybe as we go through it, we'll be able to gain some clarity in the sugya. Just one thing before we begin this sugya, I want to just point out to you something on the sugya of Mukaf Kavil that I didn't mention last time because I hadn't seen it yet. I just saw over Shabbos. And it does relate to some of the discussions at the beginning of this sugya from the Sefer Shiurei Hagrid on Tefillin Stam and Tzitzis. Shiurei Hagrid, as you may have guessed, is the Shiurim of Soloveitchik on Tefillin Stam and Tzitzis. This one was written by Rav Yair Khan, or put together by Rav Yair Khan. I assume it's probably taken either from recordings or from Rav Schechter's notes. Usually most of these things are taken from Rav Schechter's notes. But anyway, so in the Shiurei Hagrid, he discusses another nafkamina in our chakira about the din of mukefas gevil. Why does the letter have to be surrounded by gevil? So we discussed whether it's a din in tsuras haos or no. The tsuras haos is shalim even if it's not mukef gevil, but it's a psul bedine stam, right? That it's a din in writing stam that you need to have mukef gevil. So he discusses the following machlokas rishonim. There is a halacha. You'll tell me if you're familiar with this halacha called chak tochos. Are you familiar with this halacha? Again, yes. So what does it mean? What does chak tochos mean? Good. What if the letter isn't written by you writing the letter, but it's by you fashioning the area around the letter in order to create the letter memela? Let's say you have a blotch of ink and you scrape away the ink around the edges till you make a nice aleph is left from that blotch of ink, by scraping away the area around it. That would be called chak tochos. That's a psul. For ksiva stam, that does not work. You're not allowed to do chak tochos. So there is a machlokas rishonim. What if two letters are connected to each other? You have two letters right next to each other, and they're connected with ink. And you scrape away the ink that connects them in between. Is that a problem of chak tochos? Or is that not a problem of chak tochos? This is a machlokas between the Rashba and the Rush. The Rashba in his Tshuvas in Tafresh Yud Aleph explaining the Yerushalmi says that scraping away that little bit of ink is chak tochos and therefore would pasul. The Rush, however, in Seder Tikkun Tefillin at the end of Maseches Menachos Paskins, that you're allowed to do that, it's not a violation of chak tochos. Says Rav Soloveitchik that kinechliku arishonim begedra psul shal einu mukefes gevil. They're arguing about this very issue. Imu pagam be'etzem tsura sa'os, is it a problem with the tsura of the letter? Oh, shetsura sa'os shlema, ve'enu mukef gevil einu el psul bedine stam. Or maybe the tsura is just fine, but it's a psul in dine stam. Why? He says as follows. According to the Rashba, it's mistaber that the issue is one of Tzura Sa'os, that when it's not Mukaf Kavil, you have a problem in the Tzura Sa'os. Now he says, therefore, V'hol V'asiyah Sa'os Yal Yidei Mechikas Adyo Misviv V'lo Yidei Ksivah Sa'os Atzma Mistaver Shetikun Zeu Begeder Chok Tochos Upasol. So he says, if you're going to be misakin the os by erasing it and to write it anew, that's what the Rashba says, that it's going to be puzzled. But according to the Rush, who says that it's okay to separate the letters, it's not a problem in the tsuras ha-os. The os is fine. You have a perfectly good os. The problem of mukaf gevil is a din in stam. So when you remove the area that's in between them, it's then going to be kosher because you already have the os there to begin with. That's how Rav Soloveitchik suggests is the machlokes, the Rashba and the Rush. It's interesting, the Mechaber Paskins like the Rush. In Simlan Beis Sifir Ches, Mechaber Paskins, that if you have an os connected to another os, the imgarar v'frida kosher, the Mechaber says, and it's not a problem of chaktochos, that you're allowed to separate them from each other, which is interesting, because the Mechaber also paskins in Evin Ezer, in Hilchas Gittin, that nagu lahachmir shia osios mekavos gevil. But if you follow it through, that's a stira, right? I mean, the Mechaber paskins like the Rush over here, that if you scrape away the letter, the ink that connects them, that's going to be kosher, which means that he holds it's not a problem of tsuras haos, it's just a problem of ksivas stam, which would mean that for a get, right, if it's not a problem of tsuras haos, it's just a problem of ksivas stam, by a get, it should be fine, right? Yet the Mechaber Paskins in Evin Ezer, by a get, that it's no good, right? That you should at least nagu lahachmir. So that's probably why the Mechaber uses that lashon of nahagu lahachmir. That a minug to be machmir for the Shitas HaRashba, but Meikra Din, we paskin like the Rush. We explain what's the reason for that nagu lahachmir. Maybe because it aids in the Kriya as well, so that's why nagu lahachmir. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that point from Rav Soloveitchik. But now let's go on to this Gemara, and we're going to see how that din of Mukaf Kevil is actually going to come up again in this Gemara that we're learning today. On the very bottom of Daf Chav Tesam et al, the Gemara begins by telling us about two problems and how they dealt with these two problems and how they dealt with them differently. The Gemara tells us, Amar Ashiyan bar Nidvach Mishmei de Rav Yehuda Nikev Tocho Shel Hei Kosher. If the toch of the letter he has a hole in it, then it's kosher. So right off the bat, we should have a problem with this, just because what does that mean? I know what a he looks like. Which part is the toch of the he? If you didn't have Rashi, what would you say is the toch of the he? What would you think? What's toch? The inside. What's the inside of the he? The klaf, right? The empty space, right? That's the inside. That's, you would go right for the middle, and in the middle of the hay, there's nothing there, right? That's what you would assume probably it means. It's a machlokas rishonim, what tocho shel hay actually means, what it means when we say nikav tocho shel hay. Rashi, of course, on the spot over here, writes, regel shebifnim. The tocho shel hay is not the empty space, it's the leg on the inside of the hay. That's how Rashi understands Tocha shel hay. And then Rashi quotes another pshat that it lishna achrina. If you read a little further past the next Dibur Maskul, tocha gvil v'achalak shebetocho, which means exactly what you just said, right? That it's the empty space. So Rashi himself has two deos of what the tocho shel hay is. Okay, but there's a problem. Keep in mind that the problem over here is with the letter hay. There's some sort of problem that there's a hole somewhere in the letter hey, either in the ink or in the empty space in the letter hey. So the halacha is that's going to be kosher. Yerecho, puzzle. If the yerech of the letter hey, what's the yerech? Says Rashi, regal yamanis, the right leg of the hey, which is the long part, right? The long part of the hey, that's going to be puzzle. Somebody said to somebody, Nikev tocho shel hay, that's not an exact translation, Nikev tocho shel hay kasher, that if the toch of the hay has a hole in it, it's kasher. Yerecho, ooh, but now we change it a little bit. If it's yerecho, what did we say before? Before we said pasul. Now we're saying, no, not always. It depends how bad it is. Im nishtayer bo kashiros ketana kosher v'im lav pasul. As long as the yerecha, which remember, yerecha Rashi said means the long right leg of the hay. If it's big enough to be the size of an os ketana, what does that mean? What's an os ketana? So you naturally think yud, right? But there's a fundamental problem with that. Just say the word yud. If nishar bo kashir yud, right? Well, kashir os ketana? That's an odd way to say yud. We have a perfectly good word for yud. Yud. Why would you use Gashir Os Ketana? But on the other hand, what else is an Os Ketana? The Yud is the Os Ketana, right? And we had that Yerushalmi, you throw something against the wall, and look at that, there's a blotch on the wall, that's a Yud. Right? It's the little tiny letter, it's a little something.
Maybe that's what it's going to be magdil, that it can't be that little tiny letter, it has to be an Os. So the Os of a Yud, meaning it's coming out, who can anything else that you might have?
It can't just be marked, it has to be shaped like a Yud also?
Yeah,
ooh, Kashir Os Ketana, it's hard to imagine it's got to be shaped like Yud. It needs the little shmidjik on the bottom.
The shear of the Yud is.
Oh, okay. Well, what is the shear? You can write very tiny Yuds. Right? There's no... we'll have to see. I mean, shear may be relative to the ksav around it, which is also going to be part of our discussion. Right? Do you cover the letters around it, not cover the letters around it? If you cover the letters around it, then you really might not be able to tell what the... Okay, so anyway, so says Gemara, but over here we're not even talking about a child yet. You're just looking at the letter. If it has this Os Ketana, then it's kosher, otherwise it's pasul. Igruch Mud Rabbi Abba, if Sikale Karadehe, he had a problem with the hay in the word Ha'am, right? The Ha'am, Vayom Roshalam Zachar Siyam Azat. Bin Nikva, there was a hole in it. Asal Kamed Rabbi Abba, so they came to Rabbi Abba. Amalei Im Nishtayr Bok Shiros Ketana Kosher Vim Lav Pasul. Say Paskin, exactly what we just said, that I'm not going to call it child, nothing like that. There's a problem with your letter hey. See if there's if what's left there is a shir os ketana. Then says the Gemara another story, and this is where everything gets strange. Rami bar Tamri du chamua de Rami bar Tikuli, somebody, if sikale kara devav, had a problem, now we changed the letter over here, and that may be very significant. The problem was not with the letter hey, the problem was a vav. It didn't say nikev, it says ifsika. What's ifsika? That it was stopped or cut. We did have ifsika kari de hey, even though that was building off of nikev, right? So it sounded like it was ifsika with a nekev, but no, it said ifsika benikva. Over here, does it say benikva?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It says, except the Arab Nikva, right? Both with a nekev, with a hole. Good. Asal kamed Rabbi Zeira. They came to Rabbi Zeira. Amrlei, so you expect Rabbi Zeira to say the same thing we just said. Is there a Shiro's Kitan or not? No, nothing doing. What does Rabbi Zeira say? He says, Zil Aisi Yanuka de lo chakim v'lo tipesh. Bring a kid who's not too smart, not too stupid. Ikarile vayarog kosher ilo yehorig hu pasul. If he reads it vayarog, because that was the word in Vayikhi Yiksha Parul Shalchenu Vayarog Hashem Kol B'char Beretz Mitzrayim. That was a very big difference in the meaning, right? Vayarog versus Yahari, because the next word is Hashem. So Vayarog Hashem Kol B'char Beretz Mitzrayim means Hashem killed all the B'chars in Eretz Mitzrayim. Yeharig Hashem Kol B'char Beretz Mitzrayim means the B'chars in Mitzrayim killed Hashem. Right? That would be bad. Don't want to say that. Not in our Torah. Right, so that would be, so this is a pretty significant, this is a pretty significant mistake. It's reminiscent of the discussion of Beis Yosef, how bad a mistake does a Bal Kori have to make in order to correct him, right? Because you always have a balance. On the one hand, you want to get it right. On the other hand, you don't want to embarrass someone publicly. It's an issue to embarrass someone publicly. So how bad of a mistake does he have to make to warrant correcting? So the Rambam holds even a mistake in Trup. That would be pretty... That's how Chaim understood the Rambam. It's not so clear in the Rambam. But even very minor mistakes, we don't pass them that way, thank God. Because all we'd be doing is correcting, probably. Not here, not here. Over here would be perfect. I'm saying elsewhere. So we don't pass them that way. The other extreme shita, though, the Beis Yosef quotes, is that only if he's Mecharif and Megadif. If his mistake is so bad that it doesn't just change the meaning of the word, but it's saying like Apikorsis. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Acher. Right, that would do it. Yehareg instead of Vayarug, that would do it. But if it's just a mistake, even if it changes the meaning of the word, we pass in the in-between shita. That anything that changes the meaning of the word is correctable. If it doesn't change the meaning of the word, it's not correctable. Of course, the challenge with that is you have to know what changes the meaning of a word or not. So you actually have to like really know stuff in order to know it. And you're risking violating this or embarrassing someone publicly if you're doing it unnecessarily. So, okay, but that's what it's reminiscent of, that it's mamish, it's a mecharif and megadif over here. So, a couple of things. If nikav tocho shel hei, let's go back to the first part, tocho shel hei, means the empty space in the middle of the letter. How much of the empty space in the middle of the letter are we talking about? That it's still kosher. So it makes it sound like tocho shalhei, the Torah points out, tocho shalhei means the entire empty space in the middle of the letter, right? That even that would be considered nikav tocho shalhei. That's what the Torah writes. That's the implication. So ask the Beis Yosef, and this back in Siftes Vav in Lamed Beis, he says, I don't understand. If the entire tocho shalhei is missing, then we have a more fundamental problem. What problem do we have? The entire airspace in the middle, the entire cloth space in the middle of the hay is missing. You don't have mukuf kavil. It's not mukuf kavil. So shouldn't it be puzzle because it's not mukuf kavil? So no, let's think back to our lemdas of mukuf kavil. If mukuf kavil is a dinin kasiva stam, that the kavil is ki'ilu, it's part of the letter, then you have a problem. But if it's Tzuras Ha'os, it's not a problem. Because it's not like it's connected to another letter and just, you know, the whole Tzura is ruined. So if it's Tzuras Ha'os, L'char, it's not a problem. Beis Yosef gives two terutzim. First, he says the din Hekav Gavil is a matter of separating two letters from each other. Sounds like a din Tzuras Ha'os. That you shouldn't have two letters connected to each other. But over here, there's no two letters connected to each other, so it's fine. Then he suggests that maybe Hekav Kavil is only Psol B'Shas Ksiv. That Hekav, over here, Nikav means it later happened, that there became a hole, something ate through the cloth, and a hole developed in it. I remember when I was in elementary school, there was in the lobby of the school that I went to, there was a Sefer Torah from the Holocaust on display in the lobby, and there was a bullet hole through the Sefer Torah. So it wasn't made like that to begin with. I think I've seen Nikav, that's what it reminds me of, because that's what I saw every single day going to school. So that's something that wasn't there to begin with. Beis Yosef's second suggestion is, yeah, Mukav Kavil is only a problem if initially it wasn't Mukav Kavil, but if it was Mukav Kavil when it started, and then it became not Mukav Kavil, that's okay. Sounds like it's a dinin ksivas stam, right? The second third of the Beis Yosef, that it's not a din in Tzuras Ha'os, it's a din in Ksivas Stam. That as long as at the Shas Ksiva it was Mukav Kavil, then you're perfectly good. Even if later in the Shas Ksiva it wasn't Mukav Kavil, then it would be no good. But so that's the that was the connection back to Mukav Kavil. But let's move on to our topic over here. Fundamentally, we have two ways to solve a problem in a letter that we came up with in our Gemara. A hole appears in a letter. Apparently, when the hole appears in the letter Hey, we look for Os Ketana. A hole appears in the letter Vav, we ask a child, what is going on over here? There is a fundamental Machlokas Rishonim, Beis Yosef quotes it, about what Shir Os Ketana means. So, everyone said Shir Os Ketana means the letter Yud. What does it mean, you have the size of a yud left? Length, width, what are we talking about? Where was the, in this hay, where was the hole? What happened? And that we're looking at the size of a yud being left. So the Mordechai holds that we're talking about, it's the hole developed along the full width of the letter. And therefore, what we're looking for is that the length that remains of the right leg of the hay should be at least the size of a yud. Why? Why should the length on the right side of the hay be at least the size of a yud? Because then it would look like a hay. Meaning, I know a hay has to have a roof, right? It's got to go down, and it's got another thing in the middle there, right? If it doesn't go down at all on the right side, then it's not a hay. It's just a line with a dot under it. How far down does it have to go? Ideally, it should go down to the full size of a letter, right? Ideally. But over here, it didn't, because Nikat, it developed a hole. So how far down does it have to go to still look like a hay? Just far enough the size of a yud. And that's good enough. Why is that good enough? Because it still has the shape of a hay. It has the top, it goes down a little on the right side, not as much as you would like it to, but it goes down a little on the right side, and it has the dot in the middle. And that would be a tzur of the oath. This would not work for a Vav or a Zayin. Take a Vav. Let's leave Zayin out for now. Take a Vav. Why would this not work for a Vav? Because then it's Mamash Yud. You need the hay that has on its right leg the size of a Yud remaining looks like a hay. If you have a Vav whose leg only remains as long as a Yud, what you have is a Yud. According to the Mordechai, I understand very well why the Gemara doesn't go with Shir Os Kitana in case number two. Because case number two was what letter? Was a Vav. And to say Yehareg would be Mechayev v'Megadev, would be awful. That would be the worst. So by the, even if it wouldn't be Mechayev v'Megadev, it would be Psul anyway. Right? So you can't have a Vav that looks like a Yud. But the hay that remains with a broken leg, with a tiny leg, is good enough. Because it will still look like a hay. Right? According to the Mordechai, it just flows beautifully what the difference between the two stories is. But why not have Kriyas Tinok by the first one? Meaning that explains why I'm not going to look for Shiro's Katana by the second case. Why not have a child look at the first one and see if it can identify that as a hay? Right, according to this Mordechai, why not have a child look and see if he can identify it as a hay? Any thoughts? Meaning maybe the child is only supposed to look at something that could be one of two letters. You're not sure, does that look like a Vav or does that look like a Yud? Show it to a kid, see what he says. Does it look like a Vav? If the hay doesn't have a right leg, what letter is that? It's nothing. So the child to make the judgment call of what that is, maybe that's not in bounds in terms of what we could ask a child. Maybe you can only ask a child when something could look like either this letter or that letter, and you have to determine which one. But if it's either no letter at all or a letter, maybe that you can't ask a child for. Or maybe, we don't want to have to ask a child. It's a strange halacha. And you know, isn't it possible that two children would read something differently? You know, there's a discussion in the Bir Halacha. I don't know if you got to. In the Bir Halacha, Lambez, he discusses, do you have to fix it? You found it, and the kid says it's good. The kid, you know, tells you the right letter. Do you have to go and make it look nice now and fix it? So some of the poskim say, yeah, you better, because next time they get around to it, what's going to happen? What are they going to do? They're going to call a different kid, and that different kid might not say the same answer. So you better fix it. Which is like crazy. What do you mean? A different kid's not going to say the same answer. So is it kosher or is it not kosher? It's like wild. Relying on a kid is a very strange halacha. So it could be it's only in the most bidyevit situation that we're willing to rely on the kid. But if there's another way to solve the issue, we're going to go with that other way. Yeah.
Maybe there's like a possibility, like a kid like that would read it. Like someone normal would be able to read it. So even if there is some other kid who might read it differently, that's irrelevant.
But what would happen if next they don't remember? You know, next year they read from the same door, they don't remember that they have. In Okanami, it could be that you don't have to bring every child and have every child read. You could rely on that first child. For sure. Yeah, you know, the Sefer Torah could be in Camp Kaliel. Last year it was in Northwood. That's how the Mordechai understands the idea of Shir Os Kitana. The other possibility, which is the Me'iri, and this is one of those unique places where the Beis Yosef quotes the Me'iri, where the Me'iri suggests. The Me'iri suggests that it's cut along the length. And Shir Os Katana means that it's the width of a Vav or a Zayin. That a Vav and Zayin normally have very narrow legs, whereas a hay may have a thicker leg. And the hole is along the length of the right leg of the hay. So as long as Os Katana, the size of your Vavs or the size of your Zions is left, that would be okay. Now that's pretty wild. Why is that pretty wild? How thick does the leg of your Vav have to be? There's no shear. It could be tiny. So why does that Kshiros Ketana? I mean, Kshiros Ketana sounds like if you're left with just a sliver, that's no good. But if you're left with something the size, the thickness of a vav, or the thickness of the leg of a zayin, that's fine. Why? The vav doesn't have to be as thick as you happen to make the vav. The vav could be a lot thinner than that. You can make a vav, it would be a perfectly kosher vav if you have very thin legs and your vav. So that's a little bit of a difficult shita. Yeah.
Does anyone say Shira's Ketan is not a Ma'ayud?
Meiri says a vav or a zayin. Meaning the thickness of it can even be the thickness of
Let's get, okay, good.
So what happens if it's cut along the length? Meaning he's not discussing a case where it's cut along the length. So what happens if it's cut along the length? So let's get there. So what do we have? The Mordechai understands that it's cut along the length, and the Meiri understands cut along the width. I should be more clear about that. The Mordechai understands that the letter is shortened. The Meiri understands the letter is thinned out. Right? Because cut along the length, cut along the width could get confusing. Okay? Says the Beis Yosef, if you assume, like the Meiri, that we're talking about, you know, do you have enough thickness left? What if the letter was a base or a shin or anything else? Meaning we specifically chose a hey and a vav for these two stories. What if it was something else? So l'chora, if it's about the thickness of the letter, it could really be any letter. And it just has to be whatever thickness the length of that letter is, should be the thickness of a vav. Right? L'chora. But if you assume that it's about maintaining the tzura and the hay that has a little bit of a leg on the right side and a dot in the middle, only if it has a letter, if the leg on the right side is as long as a yud, only then it maintains the tzura. So then maybe it doesn't apply to other letters. Because what would happen if you'd have a bays, let's say, where the connector on the right side was only as long as a yud, what would you have? You'd have a hefsek right in the middle of the letter. Right, it wouldn't just be the end of the letter. The letter would continue below, and you'd have a hefsek where it's supposed to be connected. So that might be problematic anyhow. So it could be, aside from just nafkamina, how to teach the Gemara, how to read the Gemara, it could be big nafkamina's la'alacha in terms of whether these gedarim even work for other letters, or do they only work for the letters that the Gemara specifically identifies. It's interesting that the Mordechai is quoted by the Ramah in Simulam Bei Sifta Zayin, right? We saw that. In Sifta Zayin, the Ramah writes, Shulchan Aruch writes, Nifsak achas meosios, hapshutos govav zayin, of shnufsak reo chiosiba, imtinok sheino, lachach multiba shiodeo lekros okasher, vimlav pasul. So what's he... Wait a second... Yeah, that the Rama writes. One second. Yeah, that it's dafka the osios hapshutos like a vav or a zayin, or nifsak regel hanun chayotzibad. So what's he saying? That when do we call a tinok? We call a tinok only vav, zayin, and nun. Why only vav, zayin, and nun for a tinok? Because, right, it's suffic whether it looks like a yud or not. Right? So that's why we would call the tinok. So the Ramah seems to paskin like, what was that? That was the Mordechai, right? That was the first shita, not like the Meiri. What's interesting is the Magen Avraham just mentions, oh yeah, by the way, you also need the width of an os ketana, you know, like the Meiri. As if that's not an argument on what the Ramah said, as if they both might be true. But it's not so poshut that they both might be true. It could be that they're mutually exclusive. Because if you're going to say like the Mordechai, that it's about whether you're left with the size of a letter, that is only true of these three letters. And the din of Shiros Ketana is not even a din by any other letter. It could be even a kolshul would work for any other letter. It could be as thin as you want it to be. But if you say like the Meiri, every letter needs the thickness of a vav. So to assume that you could just, yeah, throw the Mi'iri on also. No, that they're arguing. Unless the Magen Rebbe was just saying, be machmir for Shitas and Mi'iri as well. But it could be that it's really a fundamental machlokas that's happening over here. Yeah. Yeah. According to that Shita of the Mordechai, that the letter is shortened. So it's only a question, does it look like a Yud or does it look like a Vav? Does it look like a Vav or does it look like a Nun? I'm talking about a Nun Sofis, right? Where it's just what they call a Nun Pshuta. Nun Pshuta means a straight Nun as opposed to a Nun Kfufa, which is a regular Nun that's bent. But a straight Nun, which is just an elongated Vav. So this halach only applies, the halach of a Tinok would only apply to those letters. According to the Mordechai.
So he says Kigon.
Right, by a dalet and a resh, you'd probably have it also if it would stick out if it's sticking out enough. Right, but it has to be two letters that look similar enough to each other. But like a shin or something. There's a beautiful piece of lamdas I saw in the Masifta. He has a beautiful piece of lamdas from Rav Aaron Cutler in the Mishnah Rabbi Aaron. He says, you know, this din that if the tinok can't read it, that it's pasul. He says, isn't that if a Tino can't read it, then it's lacking Tzura Sa'os? It's not the letter if a Tino can't read it, it doesn't have the proper Tzura Sa'os. Or is it a din that, no, it has a Tzura Sa'os, but there's an additional psul in Kriya Sa'os, that it has to be readable. And the way to define what's readable is take someone who doesn't know anything other than how to read. That's the idea of a tinok. Someone who's not going to come up with any lumdas or any svaras or any, ooh, I see that. No, you know, come up with, just read an aleph bay student and see if it's readable, right? See if it's legible. Says Rav Aaron Cutler, here's an aftamina ladina. Yeah, here, look. See the shin? So how do you make a shin? You have three legs, three arms, I guess. Arms, not legs. Three arms to the shin. The left arm of the shin is a Zion. What if a child can't tell if it's a Vav or a Zion? Or if it's a Yud or a Zion? It's very short, it only goes up to there. Right? But if he looked at that whole letter, what would he tell you? That's a Shin. But that little thing on the left side, if you look at it independently, doesn't have the Tzura of a Zion. It has a tzura of a vav or a yud. It's not a tzura of a zayin. So if you say the psul of kriyas tinok is that it's lacking a tzura sa'os, then even if just that left arm is lacking a tzura sa'os, then the whole thing is going to be pasul. Because the way to make a shin is having a zayin with a full tzura sa'zayin on the left side. But if you hold that Kriya Satinok is not a din in Tzura Sos, the Tzura Sos is fine. It's just that it needs to be legible. You need to be able to read it. No one is supposed to read this as a Zion. You're supposed to read it as a Shin. And he'll still read it as a Shin. Everybody will still read it as a Shin. That's Rav Aaron Cutler's Lamdas. I thought that was a nice nice little piece of Lamdas. Now, let's see. We have to prioritize a little bit what we're going to get to over here. Yeah, let's go back to this most fundamental issue that we were discussing before. When do you look for Os Ketana, and when do you look for a Tinok to read? So the Yireyim, the Shita of the Yireyim is, either one is good for any letter. They're the same thing. Os Ketana, the Gemara's assumption is that a child will read it correctly when you have Shir Os Ketana. Which means there aren't two dinim here. There's one din, and it has to look like a letter. What makes it look like a letter? Either Kriyas Tinok or Shiros Ketana. That is obviously, clearly not the Shita of the Mordechai. And the Mordechai spells it out. That it makes a difference between what types of letters you're looking for. The Prima Gaddin just points out that, you know, what does the Mordechai say? That when it's chopped short, when the letter is chopped short, so you ask a Tinok, what letters does that work for to ask a Tinok? A Vav, a Nun, and a Zayin. Right? Those are the letters that might be confused with something else. The Bir Lacha quotes Prima Gaddim over here, where he says, not really a Zion. The kid will be able to tell it's a Zion even if it's chopped very short. Why will he be able to tell it's a Zion even if it's chopped very short? Because it's in the middle. The roof is in the middle. It's not off to the side. It doesn't look like a yud at all, even if it's chopped very short. So even then, he'll be able to tell it's a Zion. So that you have to figure out. Would a kid chop that? Or are we assuming that a kid wouldn't chop that? They don't think it's just sloppy writing. That's difficult. The Mi'iri, again, quoted by the Beis Yosef, says that there's that the difference between the two dinim is one is talking about where the letter is chopped lengthwise, and the other is talking about where the letter is chopped widthwise. That when it was thick and now it's very thin, so then we say shiros ketana. When it's chopped lengthwise, that's when you do sheilas tinok, and if tinok is able to read it, then it's going to be kosher. Yeah.
By when it's cut short, then we would go by calling up a kohen.
Yeah, so what's the problem? So the Miri would say that by the hay we're talking about the thickness, right?
And then we would go by.
But in a chinami, that would be true of any letter.
So it just has to be as thick as any letter.
Right, as thick as you would make any letter. Thick enough that it could be the thickness of a letter.
And then he would say by shortness, then you would go by.
By how a child would read it, right? Whether it actually looks like that a child would read it. There's a fascinating chiddush that goes Maimonios quotes that lechora is caused a big discussion in the Achronim. That lechora needs a svara, and I'm not really sure what the svara is. That goes Maimonios suggests that even though Kriyas HaTinok is not going to work in certain situations, let's say for example. And this is a discussion in Beis Yosef, I'm sure you saw. If the letter is broken in the middle, so can you show the kid the whole letter, the bottom and the top, and see if he's... No, you can't do that, right? You got to cover the bottom and see if he's able to figure it out just from the top of the letter, right? So he says, even though that's true, Kriyas HaTinok is not going to help when the letter is broken in the middle. But he says, if a letter in Tefillin is broken in the middle, you can go back and fix it. It's not a problem of Shaloka Sidra. It's not a problem of writing it out of order. What's pshat? You're not allowed to write tefillin out of order. Each letter has to be written in order. Normally, if you find that you have a psul earlier on in the tefillin, you have to erase everything after it and go back and rewrite from that spot and on. That's the way tefillin are. It has to be written Kesidra. Hagos Maimonios says, the letter is puzzled because it's broken in the middle, and a child, you can't show it to a child to read. The child won't help. It won't help to have a child read it. But it's good enough. It's good enough that it's not called Shaloka Sidra. So what's he saying? And this is a big machlokas. Not everyone agrees to this. Shuma Sedeshin has a whole discussion. Beis Yosef, not sure about this. What's pshat over there? Now let's think about it. Shaloka Sidron, we said, is maybe not a din in Dine Stam. Shaloka Sidron is a din in you need the tsura of all the letters there, written in order. You could fill in the halachas of Stam later. Let's say you write your shins without the three zions on top, without the crowns on top. You can go back and fill that in later. That's not a violation of Shaloka Sidron. Because all you need Kasidron is the actual tsura of the letters. When you have a break in the letter, if you actually look at the entire letter, everyone, including the tinok, would be able to say that that's a letter. Meaning it has enough of a tsura of the letter that you'd be able to identify it. But there's a din in Dine Stam, apparently, that's not enough. That the hefsik, the break in the middle, is going to cause you a problem, and then you need a tinok to be able to identify it just from the top. But that might be just a din in Dine Stam. Which is wild, because it's suggesting that the Kriyas Tinok is not just about the legibility of the letter. That Kriyas Tinok is Koveya, a din in Dine Stam. That it's Koveya, that this is a kosher letter. Which is crazy that a child should have that capacity, that he should, we should give him that kind of power. You know, you want to know if it's basically readable, that's one thing. But to be Koveya, Din and Dine Stam, that's pretty wild. Yeah.
In regards to Priya, how long does he have
to figure it out?
What if he makes a mistake? What if he says something, he says, Echar, Acher, Echad, and then he quickly changes it?
So first of all, we're going to see that it seems that we don't... let's see, do we even show him everything, or do we... Right, let's actually get to that point. Do we show him the whole line, or can we cover up everything around it and just show him that letter? But Luchoritz, I don't know, I'm not sure how long he has to figure it out. We probably just want his initial reaction. That's probably the best way. Because the whole reason why we're not getting an adult to do this is because we don't want any thinking. We want someone who is only going into this with the analysis of what does that letter look like, not with any further, thinking. Yeah.
So why not just show him the letter?
What do you mean?
Why can't just go into the Sefer Torah and say, what letter is that? Why does he have to read the word?
Oh, who says he has to read the word?
I mean, it seems like we keep on saying that he has to read the
Pasuk. No, the letter. You show him the letter. Let's say you show him the... Well, let's see. Let's get to that. We only have 5 minutes. Let's get to that. The low chacham. Why do we want someone who's not a chacham? So Rashi writes, you need someone who's not a chacham, because if he's a chacham, then the fact that he reads it as Vayarog instead of Yehareg could just be that he realizes that it can't be that God dies in the Bible, right? So it could be that he just chaps that. So says Beis Yosef, in the name of the Seder Get Ashkenazi, you saw this morning, that from Rashi you see that you're not covering the other letters. Because if you were covering the other letters, he would never be able to figure it out from context. It must be that you're showing him everything. You're letting him see everything, but you're not asking him to read everything. You're asking him to read that one letter. Now that leads to the obvious question. Instead of insisting on a child who's not a chachan, and therefore being able to show him all the letters, why not just cover up all the surrounding letters and ask a chacham, or for that matter, ask an adult? Right? So if you're going to assume that what we're asking the child about is this the length of a vav or a yud, it could be, it depends on what the size of the ksav, the font size is of the rest of the Torah. Sometimes you could have a very tiny ksav, and sometimes you could have the roof of a letter extended a little bit, even though the ksav is very tiny. So you can't tell if something's a vav or a yud unless you see the letters near it. So not that he's reading the other letters, but at least he eyeballs the size of the other letters. And it could be that he needs to do that in order to identify whether it's vav or yud. So it's not going to help to get an adult to come and look and just cover up the other letters, because you're not, or even get a child who's a chacham to come and cover up the other letters, because if he covers up the other, if you're covering up the other letters, then he's not going to get a proper feeling for the size. This question is raised by a tshuva sefer called Darkei Noam in Eben Ezra Siman Gimel, and that's exactly the suggestion that he has. The Taz writes that the definition of Einu Chacham is that he's not going to be able to figure out the letter from context, and that's taken straight from Rashi, right? That if he's able to figure it out from context, then he's too much of a Chacham. Another important ha'ara over here, and with this we'll close. You see this ches? If you were to show this ches to a child and ask, what letter is that? What's he likely to say?
Two zions.
That's two zions. Would it be kosher if he says that? Let's say it was cut short, and he's like, oh yeah, it's a zion and a zion. He didn't say a yud and a zion, he said a zion and a zion. Right? But he didn't say ches.
Would that mean
is it that he has to say the right letter, or that he sees the right thing? He's not familiar with the fact that the way to make a ches in the Torah is by making two zions and then just making a little triangle on top. How's he supposed to know that? He doesn't know. He never learned laning yet. He's a little kid. So Beis Yosef points out that would be enough. If he's looking at the right thing and he's saying what you want him to say, that lechora would be enough. Right, L'chora. So tomorrow, God willing, we'll get to Shatnez Gates, which is the idea of the crowns on tops of the letters. Fascinating, I got it to not to skip, just because you got to see it on Chavtes and Beis leading up to the Shatnez Gates. So very nice, I got it to tomorrow. We'll discuss that tomorrow, and then we'll get into real tefillin stuff after that. Thank you.